You're listening to CPC Together, a podcast produced by Central Peninsula Church in the San Francisco Bay Area, where we talk about pretty much everything. Okay, we are in the room. We have a very special guest with us right now. We have Rachel, who's also special. Rachel, thank I don't you. Want you to not feel special, but you've been on quite a bit, and you're kind of a reg now.
Reg.
We don't have Kevin today. He is otherwise detained, not in jail or anything, just...
prison.
Just can't be. But we have, who has been on the podcast before... We have Liz McQuiston.
Hey, hey.
Yeah.
I wish we had a soundboard thing with like, you know, like a roaring crowd. Oh, yeah, exactly. Beer, Liz.
Yeah.
And she is wearing what at first looks like a cow print cardigan, but then you look closer and it's not cow, it's hearts.
Yeah. Because Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Soon.
But they're black hearts.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they're
what
different.
Statement are you trying to make for Valentine's Day?
Yeah. I found this sweater at a thrift store. Ooh. And so I'm pretty sure it was someone's grandmother's sweater, but I love it.
You were buying some tags?
Because I feel very vintage when I wear it, but yet festive. So.
So no comment on black hearts.
Well, I'm wearing a pink shirt with the black heart, so it makes it cheerful.
Just a little dark.
Just a little dark.
Darker
okay,
on the
here's
edges.
My question that I really want to know. Because earlier, Liz offered to, I asked her if she would join the podcast, and in a gesture of bribery, I asked her if I could buy her a sandwich. And she got so excited because, Liz, you love sandwiches.
Oh, man.
So my question is for both of you, what is the best sandwich you've ever had? And I'm going to ask you to describe it a little bit.
Mm. Wow.
And while you guys are thinking, I'm going to tell you, and I don't think you're going to see it coming, but I'm going to tell you, it's Eric's Deli for me.
Ooh.
I didn't even know I liked sandwiches. Until Eric's Deli.
Mm.
Have you guys ever had Eric's Deli?
Yes.
No.
Oh, Rachel.
Eric's Deli Cafe.
I don't know if there is one anywhere near here for Rachel to even try. Is there?
Gilroy.
Land of the garlic.
Is that worth it to drive to?
Could be. Depends how good the sandwich is. Do tell.
It was the best sandwich I've ever had. All it is turkey, but it's like the bread is somehow so soft that like... dissolves in your mouth. Like you can chew it first and then it's like gone and now it's all this stuff inside. And then here's the big thing they do. They don't do lettuce.
Oh.
You know what they do for the crunch?
Spinach? Sprouts?
No.
Pickle.
Sprouts.
Oh. Ooh. Sold.
Sprouts.
So good.
Yeah, I can taste it right now. I just ate a sandwich and I want another Eric's Deli turkey sandwich with sprouts.
That sounds delicious.
Liz hasn't eaten her sandwich yet, by the way.
Yeah, I'm
waiting.
All right,
so
I'm
did
gonna
you think
savor
of it?
It.
What's your favorite sandwich? Did you think of it?
I do have one. It's not fancy. It's comfort food.
Is it and Arby's?
It's actually not from any specific. Well, when I was pregnant and living in New Jersey, there was a sandwich shop within walking distance, which is dangerous. Ooh. It was called Sandwich Theory. But I changed the name to Sandwich Therapy because that's what it was. When I was pregnant, it was my therapy. I'd be, you know, feeling not that great and just take a nice walk, enjoy the outdoors and get my sandwich therapy.
That is the best thing I've ever heard. You're like, Jesse, I have therapy right now. Really? Yeah.
I'm going to get my therapy.
Sandwich therapy. Oh.
And you're not really supposed to have like deli meats when you're pregnant. So I could only have certain kinds. Mm. So for me, it's all about the chicken breast sandwich because you were allowed to have that when you're pregnant.
That's like cooked differently.
Because it's cooked differently. You're not supposed
Less
to have
nitrites.
The nitrates. Whatever it is.
Yeah. Is that like what they put in deli meat to preserve it
yes.
or something?
Yeah.
What if it's like fresh sliced deli meat?
I think that's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I just wanted to be safe. Yeah. You know, there's a being inside of me. So
Hormel is not the way.
No. So I did the chicken breast sandwich hot, melted with bacon.
Oh my gosh.
with, I like spicy, so pepper jack cheese. Mm. And it had to be like grilled, like it was pressed in the panini, and the cheese was like oozing out, you guys. But then it was healthy because it had spinach on it, and get this, a vegetable that you do not normally see on a sandwich. Nope.
Zucchini?
Broccoli. Is eggplant a broccoli Rob? Is that how you call it? Broccoli Rob?
Broccoli
Rob. Broccolini?
Yeah. Something like that.
Broccoli Rob.
Isn't broccoli some Rob sort of like baby a character broccoli. On Big Brother or something?
I don't
Veggie
know.
Tales? I don't know.
Okay, so that you sounds, get this.
People are that, probably going to think this is the weirdest sandwich ever.
So they put
ever.
Broccoli. How do they get it, yeah, broccoli to not like...
It's thin. The broccoli, broccolini or broccoli Rob. I don't know. R-A-B-E, I think. Oh. Rabe? I'm not sure. But it was like
there's
thin,
probably so many
long,
people right now that are
I know,
judging
they
Rachel
probably,
and I for not knowing what broccoli Rob probably. Is. Oh, or who that is.
It's a type, yeah.
We haven't been to therapy.
You got, I know, you have to get your sandwich therapy.
Man.
So that's
Liz,
probably
I didn't
it.
Know that you lived in Jersey.
Yes.
How long did you live there?
Only a short stint, but it was great in the Garden State.
Did you start did you start at all developing the accent?
Oh, I totally. I was working on it. I mean, give me a call. You know, it's 3, 2, 1. 5, 2, 1, 3, and we'll get a cup of coffee.
That's amazing. That's you sound like a little bit like Janice from.
I know.
Friends.
Actually, oh, actually, I'm
Chandler.
Chandler.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Amazing, Jersey wow. Liz, man. I can picture
it.
It
was a great place.
Big hoop earrings.
You didn't have to pump your gas.
No, they do it for you. It was great.
Really? They're yeah. like Oregon.
Yeah.
And the Jersey Shore is great. I mean, I feel like it gets a bad rap, but it's like awesome.
It
it's
does.
Beautiful.
Maybe just the show.
And
I
there's
mean,
a, there's of the course the Turnpike.
Nice. Oh
yeah, the Turnpike.
Yeah.
You know, your only
Princeton is there.
Princeton yeah. is there. Lots of trees. I mean, that's why they call it the Garden State because there's so many trees. It's beautiful.
No clothing tax. That's
wow.
Nice.
You know your stuff.
Yeah. How'd you know that? Is well, that why you went and shopped for clothes?
So close yeah. by. Yeah.
Yeah. Jersey yeah. Gardens.
All right, Rach. Let's hear it. I'm anticipating this.
I love a good grilled cheese. And in Pittsburgh, there's this place called The Yard. It does not have trees or grass, but they have grilled cheese of like all varieties. And this one had grilled cheese with pulled pork and those onion straws on it and pepper jack. So good.
Oh, that
so good.
Does sound delicious.
I should have got pepper jack on your sandwich.
It's okay. There's cheese.
I asked for provolone and she had to go like cut it. So it took extra long.
Ooh.
And pepper jack was right there. Anyway.
Thank you for waiting for my provolone.
I think that Liz's sandwich sounds the best.
I think so.
Rock-a-rab. I want to go get some sandwich therapy. I think that's what we need to call this episode.
Okay.
Sandwich therapy.
Kevin said something in his message. I'm wondering if you guys remember this because I wanted someone to help expound upon it, and I was hoping Kevin would do that, but he's not here. He said we're meaning-making machines.
Mm.
What does that mean? We're meaning-making machines. Like, is that like our job here on this earth? Like, do dogs not do that? Like, is that something uniquely human, is we make meaning?
Was he referring to humans? We
yeah.
Or like Christians?
Yeah. We,
like
we
all
as,
people.
We as... humans, I think, are meaning-making machines. Did I stump you guys already?
I love that.
No, it's good.
It reminds me of The Music Machine. Did you ever watch that cartoon? No,
no.
Just me.
Oh, wait. That rings a bell.
It's the one where Have Patience song comes from. Have patience.
Wow, you have such a good memory.
No, I just was raised by Christian cartoons.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Kevin had a quote by Viktor Frankl, which I think maybe gives some insight into how we care so much about meaning. But he says, life is never made unbearable by circumstances, but only by lack of meaning and purpose. So I wonder if it's that we're constantly living towards some sort of meaning or purpose. And if we don't have it, we're just lost.
That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to attach meaning or value to different things and then kind of just live toward that.
Right. Yeah. Which makes a lot of sense with where he's like his whole Tozer quote, where he talks about like how we conceive God is kind of like the most important thing because what we conceive of God is also where we move. Like, we move toward our mental image of who God is, which means we're becoming what we think God is, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was a really fascinating, like, twist, because I, you know, I think I've heard, not like a lot, but I've heard before, you know, this quote by Tozer of, what you think about God is the most important thing about you, which I think is true and right. But it does, like, put a little slightly different spin of, like, the focus for me is, what am I, who do I really think God is actually who I'm becoming. I mean, that's a really just, I mean, it's the same idea, but it's just a slightly different focus that I had to really, like, Jesse and I were, my husband, we were talking about it after church. We always, well, this is funny. I hadn't thought about this, but we always get, like, a sandwich after church.
So you were a couple's sandwich therapy.
Once more therapy. And we were discussing it, and we were both like, oh my gosh, like, that is the question for every human. Who do I say he is, is absolutely going to shape my purpose, the way I view the circumstances in my life, my, the meaning that I give to things. Because, if Jesus is just my, my rabbi, my teacher, but not necessarily my Lord, I'm going to be like, yeah, cool. He has good ideas, but I might have some better ideas about that. You know, I'm not really sure I'm going to follow all that.
My brain went back to the simplest example of when I felt, like, when I first started feeling aimless and like I needed to make meaning and I needed to become something, junior high. And so, like, when you think about, like, the junior high, you know, what is it that we're trying to become in that moment? And I think, like, for me, I just wanted to be in. So then I didn't really care what I became as long as I was in. So that started my life of looking for people that were in so that I could become more like them. So when I go shopping with my mom, like, oh, can I buy those shoes? Because I saw this guy wearing those shoes and he's in. You know, can I buy those clothes? So, like, think about, like, the ridiculous decisions we make in order to try to find that meaning. And I think junior high is maybe a little bit more ridiculous, maybe less subtle than how we still do it now.
Yeah.
Like, we still try to figure out ways of, we have a narrative of who we want to become. And I think that's what he's kind of talking about. And we, as Christians, sometimes we can put Jesus and just add Jesus to our narrative. I want to be a successful so-and-so. I want to make this amount of money. And that's, I think, what Jesus would want for me, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a hard time separating our thoughts from what we think Jesus would think, which is interesting. But I think back to something Kevin said of people form an opinion of Jesus, whether they like him or whether they don't, but inherently there is an opinion. Because I was thinking, like, what about the people who don't necessarily think often about God or don't really connect with God? But in some ways, like, there's some level of thought or understanding of who God is that leads them to respond in a certain way. And
I wonder if it's in the same category as that whole, like, everybody worships thing. Like, even if you're not worshiping our God and you're not calling whatever you're worshiping God, it is effectively your God.
Yes.
Like, that thing that you're chasing, you know, like go back to the baby Brandon junior high thing. Like, my God was to become, you know, like a popular kid. Because I was convinced that that was going to be the thing that would make me happy.
Yeah.
So appreciate you sharing that, by the way. I'm sure, like, we can all relate.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was probably chasing for a long time, to be honest, like, the dream or the calling that I thought God wanted for me more than God, like, more than just following God. And it's taken me a long time to sort of come to grips with that, because I do think he has purposes and plans for us, of course, that he wants us to live into. And but at times I think my dream was bigger than him. And so it kind of goes back to, well, yeah, was I really, I don't think I was even aware of that. So that whole idea, I guess maybe going back to the meaning making machines, like sometimes I think that we're not aware of the meaning we're giving to things, of what we're even worshiping, of what we're even following.
We kind of do it.
We kind of just
subconsciously
do it.
Yeah.
So it does. I mean, that, and that even goes back to, that's why I think, you know, slowing down for loving union with Jesus, like, is key to following him. Because if I'm just going, which I, my flesh wants to do 100 miles an hour, like the rest of the world, I just, I'm not really aware even of the decisions I'm making. Like, so I we have to, I think, push against that pace and go, wait a minute, wait a minute. Wait, is this still your dream for me?
Yeah.
Is this still where you want me to go? What do you say? I think for years I wasn't even stopping to ask him that.
Yeah.
So.
No, I relate with that. I think it's challenging when our expectations or assumptions get challenged. I said challenging twice, but when we sit and realize that we've been moving full speed ahead towards something, even good things. Because similarly, like, I think I've talked about this before, but I've had such a strong, like, passion or dream for missions, especially overseas missions in the past, and everything was like second to that, where it's like, no, I need to go. I'm not going to think about this or about that and marriage and all of those things. Like, if I don't have someone who wants to go on mission with me overseas, then that they're not the right person, just different things like that. But I think realizing over the last couple of years, when I have sat with the Lord and I've moved like a million miles ahead towards this one thing, which is a good thing. He cares about missions, but it's not necessarily what he wants for me right now. That was like so terrifying, because then I didn't have any sense of like, okay, what is my purpose? Like, what is my meaning if I'm not overseas? And then what does that mean for everything else?
Yes.
And God's like, no, you still have me. And that's what was most important all along. But it is scary when those get, when those get challenged.
I love thinking about, like, I haven't really thought of this question. I've heard of this story a lot of times. I've heard this story where Jesus asks the disciples, who do you say I am? You know, but thinking about it in the context of this, the reason why he thinks it's so important for them to know, like, who do you really think I am? Because you think I'm going to become something different, or you think I'm, you know, whatever. And Kevin talked about, you know, the Messiah, or Jesus Christ, you know, not his last name. Christ is the Messiah. And everybody would have had, like, I was thinking, to any problem that we might have, like, especially the bigger the problem, all of us think we have what the solution is going to be. And so I can imagine back then, like, when people are imagining this is the Messiah and who he's going to be, it wasn't super specific what he was going to be in the Bible. It was, I mean, there were some things that show you who he was, but they didn't necessarily say how exactly he would come. And so everybody had their, you know, what they thought the Messiah would be. Well, my Messiah is going to come with a machine gun. You know, my Messiah is going to come and take out all my enemies, and my Messiah is going to, you know, all that kind of stuff. And realizing that Jesus would have realized that. He would have said, you know, even in this group of people, all of you thought that I was going to be something different. And Kevin talked about this whole idea that we have to, in order to really answer that question, who do you say I am? Like, in order to really answer that question objectively, we have to crucify ourselves. And it made me think of this conversation I had yesterday with a friend of mine, and we were talking about surrender, and he mentioned about the song "I Surrender All," which, to be honest, the as I have started to, I think maybe in some ways, sadly, for the first time in my life, started to surrender things to God. I realize how challenging that song actually is. Like I don't know that I can in full confidence sing or say I surrender all.
Wow.
Because it usually doesn't look that way. Like for me, a stubborn, narcissistic person, I have to surrender, like, here's this thing now. Like, it's like I trust him, like, with one thing at a time. Like, okay, here's another. Here's another thing. I'm not ready for this yet. Here's another thing. Here's another thing. But I'm curious what does it look like for you guys? And, you know, get as vulnerable or not as vulnerable as you want. But what does it look like for you guys? If you guys have struggled through that, what types of ways have you had to, you know, to use this language, you wouldn't ever put it this way, but crucify yourself? Ooh. What things of your own flesh have you had to kind of put aside in order to pursue the things of God? That's kind of a deep question for a podcast.
A good one. No, I like it.
I think the two things that came to mind were pride and control, which I think before I would have thought it was indecision or insecurity, but it's really just pride of wanting to pave my own way and to be in control of where I'm going to go. Where when Jesus leads, he expects us to trust him, or he hopes that he would. He doesn't force us to, but there is a level of trust that's required in that. And I think surrendering control has been like a theme across really everything. But I think that's something that, I mean, it's still in process. I think it always will be, because it's like fighting self versus a self submitted to him. But I think that area of submission and surrendering control and trusting him, it plays out in the way I trust other people too, but I think especially him, of do you really have my best interests in mind? And more than that, it might not be what I think is best for myself, but it's best for him and for me because he loves me. But that's a question that I often push back against. But it's letting go of pride and thinking that I know what's best for myself.
If I could ask you, are there things that, like, you have found that you are willing, like things that are easier to say, okay, I don't need to control that part. Like things that you can say, God, you can have that part. But other things where you're like, I don't know if I really trust you with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's why my word for the year is expectant hope. Because the things I don't want to surrender over, I don't pray about as much. And I don't ask for his direction. And I'm like, why am I not asking for it in this? So I think when it comes to work in the future, like that was a big thing for me of what do you want me to do? And then now it's like, well, what am I not praying about? And it's often relationships or, I don't know, I think just different passions or dreams or desires. Even that missions thing, I just stopped praying about it because I was like, well, it's not mine anymore. I don't have control. So why should I pray about it? And it's like, no, he has control. But the areas that I'm least likely to surrender are the ones I try to avoid the most.
Ooh.
I remember the first time I prayed, this was like when I was probably in my early 20s. So just a tiny few years younger than Rachel. The first time I prayed, I was earnestly praying to God about something and not realizing that there was a whole other area of my life that was off the table, like that wasn't up for discussion with God. And I remember it was on this like long walk and I was praying for God about this thing. And God's like, I want you to address this thing. And like, he didn't say that, but that like whatever the thing that I didn't want to discuss was what God kept bringing to mind over and over again, to the point where I was like, okay, fine. But you know, like you said, Rachel, like we have things that are sort of like, okay, this one, God, it's not up for discussion. And those are usually the things like when I pray, when I'm leading worship, like let God bring those struggles to your mind. Like let, just start there. Just let him bring it up.
Yeah.
And then see if you're willing to offer it, because we can spend most of our lives just like compartmentalizing that somewhere else. And we can sing songs like I Surrender All and keep that kind of locked away, hidden, you know?
Well, I think we can be afraid of disappointment. Yeah. We can be afraid of being rejected by God, you know? that he won't give us what we think our deepest desire is when it, it might not even be that, actually.
Yeah.
It's him. But we might not even be aware of that yet. So yeah, I think there are reasons that we do hold back, of course, that are good to explore. Wow. You guys are going so deep. I love it so much. yeah, I don't even need sandwich therapy today. This is so good. I was thinking in terms of, like surrendering all and crucifying myself. Wow. The thing that came to my mind was I could think of a couple of stories that they're all kind of related. But when I was in my mid-20s, I was living in Los Angeles and not married yet. And really, I still feel this way. I still feel really passionate about the entertainment industry. I really feel still to this day that it's, you know, it's a, such a beautiful yet dark place at times that the whole industry needs believers there, just loving people in the industry, like just loving people and just who love art, who love movies, music, dancing, singing, just living there, but also living for Jesus. So I really thought that's what I was going to do. I felt super passionate about it. Everyone I was living with, you know, we were all broke after college. And so I lived with like four girls in a 2-bedroom apartment and we were all living the same, like starving artist life and loving every minute of it, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember this time actually coming, going to church one Sunday, actually coming home here, and, sitting in, a service that Gary Parsons was, preaching.
Is he the guy that did the Far Side comic? Oh, that's Gary Larson. Continue.
He was with Young Life.
Yeah, he was with Soviet Young Life Union, for a long time. Yeah. And now he's with the Bay Area School of Ministry with Mark Mitchell. Just a really neat guy. Like, oh my gosh. And he was giving a sermon on the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit nudges us and actually still is our teacher. Like the Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus says. So I'm sitting there going, okay, yeah, this is great. Yeah, Holy Spirit, cool, cool. And like I still remember it. I almost get like goosebumps. I feel like halfway through the sermon, I felt a really strong nudge and not an audible voice, but a really strong impression of move home. And I was like blown. That was not at all what I wanted to hear or at all because I was living in LA and living the dream. But I really couldn't shake it. I knew that was the Holy Spirit. That wasn't just I ate a bad dinner the night before and I was, you know, having indigestion and thought that's what it was. No. So I couldn't deny it. And that was like a really big turning point in my life where I had to go, am I going to follow what God said or am I going to follow what I want?
Yeah.
And I had to follow. We have to, there's no choice. There really isn't a choice. And actually there's so much freedom. I think when I realized that of like, wait a minute, like, no, actually, of course I'm going to follow what he said. I have no idea why I'm moving home at all, but there is going to be something good at the end of it. But I didn't see that for a really long time. Yeah. So that was just one story that came to my mind of like, I did for the first time, maybe have to sort of surrender and go, wow. Yeah. Am I going to follow you or am I going to follow what I think I want based on what I think you told me to do a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
if you think about that in like, it sort of humanizes thinking about your story, Liz, Peter's response.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause the parallel is that you're going along, you have an idea of what you think God wants for you. You're making plans, you're living the life, you know, and Jesus comes in and he says, hey, this is what it is. Just like he did with Peter, very plainly says, Peter, I'm going to die. Like they're going to kill me and then I'm going to come back to life. But just so you know, it's going to get really bad here and I want you to be ready for it. And I'm not, I'm not speaking in parables right now. I'm not messing around. Like, Peter, it's going to get real. And Peter saying, and Peter having the same thought that you did, like, okay, which is, and Kevin said, I think, I love the way he said this. He said that at that point, Peter went, because there's a lot of instances in the, in Mark, as we're reading, where the disciples don't understand. But he said in this moment that Peter goes from not understanding Jesus to rejecting Jesus. And it's like, like, no, Jesus, my way is better.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And can you just imagine, though, how Peter was feeling?
Yeah. I mean, no, no, your plan wasn't to die. Like, no. Your plan wasn't for the world to be against you. You
know? I mean, I would have felt so shocked and I think probably hurt and just like, what? Like, that is not what I thought the Messiah was gonna do. You're supposed to overthrow Rome or whatever it was. You're supposed to
You're the victor. Yeah. Like, you're the person who conquers it.
Like, you how can this be your good plan? Like, what in the world? And how relatable again is that for so many of us, where we're like, we've had those times, and we, if we haven't had them yet, they're coming. But where we're like, wait, no, 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 like, what you're telling me to do doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
But I guess I have to do it. And then, of course, we, you know, not to belittle our human experiences at all or trivialize them, I mean, but because we know his ways are better. But to really get to that point where we feel that and we trust him in that, like, that's a whole nother level than just knowing it.
Well, I think, and for probably you guys, I would say the same thing, but the more you see God's plan unfold, the more, the easier it is to say, you know what? Like the last time, like when I had talked about this too much already, but the last time when I really was trying to surrender something, it was my music stuff.
Yeah.
And the way I got there was kind of logically talking to myself and being like, everything else that I have surrendered has gotten healthier.
Wow.
And more whole.
Yeah.
And this thing, I can't see a path for it. Just like Peter couldn't see a path for Jesus dying. How could that be a good thing, Jesus? You know, and I couldn't see a path, but I could see before what he had done. And I didn't see the way forward with the other things that I'd surrendered. And so it was from that vantage point, I was able to say, okay, like logically, here it is, God. Like, I there's still a part of me that is very, very scared to give this to you. But I want to leave us with something. And Liz, I'm hoping that you can start based on what you just said. Because inevitably, there are people out there right now that are listening, people in our body or people, I don't know, there's people that listen from like Germany sometimes. So, Guten Tag.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Good afternoon.
Is
good
it?
Evening.
I don't know.
Oh, good evening. Guten Abend. That's all I know.
My 11-year-old is learning German. I'll ask her.
Wow.
Anyway.
Check us, Lucy.
There's inevitably someone that's listening to this that is struggling, saying, is this really something I can surrender? Is this really something, or maybe it's something that they need to conquer, you know, maybe it's something that has a grip on their life, maybe an addiction or whatever, or maybe it's just a pattern of living or a pattern of relationships or a fear of being alone, whatever it might be. But there's something that people are saying, God, I don't know, like, I've tried it this way and I don't know how you could make it any better. What would you say to someone who is questioning if God will has the best way? And let me ask you to tell it, what is the resolution of your story from LA? I mean, do you see that God showed up?
So I would say, such a good question, by the way. I mean, we're all on a journey, and I feel like, you know, my journey, you know, with every stage, I feel like he's drawing me closer to him. And so I'd say, ultimately for me, the answer is through all of this, Jesus is the safest place I can be. Like, he is my home. He is the only place that I am myself and the most, like, I can cry, I can laugh, I can be silly. Like, I'm so fully accepted and loved and delighted in. And I just feel like he keeps showing me that more and more. So when he's asking me to release my tight grip on the things of this world, like, that's because I'm going to latch on tighter to him. Mm. But I don't see it in the moment. So, like, when I left LA after he told me to, it was a hard time. Mm. You know, it was. Like, I can't say it was all like, yeah, perfect. Like, it didn't. It was hard. I did feel like I didn't know what my purpose was. And actually, it still has moments like that for me to this day. But
I have, like, what you might have missed. Kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
Like what I might have missed. Yeah. Because I still have friends down there who are like making it and thriving. And,
like Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Well, actually, I did meet him, but he's not my friend. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we're friends. We did hang out one time. But no, I wasn't. Yeah. In that circle, but I have friends, you know, who are living the dream, and it's so cool, and I'm so happy for them. But of course, there's those moments where it's like, oh, Lord, oh, like I still, and I have to say, like I guess I don't know that ache will ever leave, and I think that's okay. But to be honest, the thing that I think the reason he asked me to do that was because he knew actually that was going to become my God. Mm. It just was. It was already starting to. LA was really everything for me. And so he was stripping me of that to save me, really. Wow. So I moved. I mean, but the other part of it is I don't know that I would have met Jesse, my husband. He wasn't going to be in LA. We met up here and he's an engineer. He moved here for tech jobs and he's, aside from Jesus, like the best thing that's ever happened.
Awesome, man. And for those of you that might not know, Jesse McQuiston is one of our elders here at church. And he is just an incredible, incredible guy.
He's great. Aww. Yeah.
He's worth his weight in gold.
Yeah. Aw, that's very nice.
Yeah. Although he might only be like 120 pounds. He's pretty thin and fit.
Gold lining.
That's good.
What would you say to that person, Rachel?
I think we were in our staff retreat this week reading through Isaiah 41, and the number of times that God said, I will help you, in that one passage, I think it was just four verses, and he said, like, I will uphold you with my right hand. And I will help you. And I think sometimes it's hard to know how to walk through those situations or surrender because we don't have the strength it takes. So when we look at, and I think that's what Kevin said sometimes about the means, like we look at the means of our own way instead of Jesus's means. And we don't often know what his means are going to be. But I think for me, it's been remembering that he will help. And then tracing back the times that he has where it is, like, think, like you said, Liz, it's undeniably clear that God was there. And sometimes it's scary when it's really hard to see, like, I don't see you helping me right now.
Yeah.
But I think looking back and seeing how he has, like, I love that song, I Will Look Up, because it says, I will look back and see that you're faithful. And then I look ahead and see that you're able. So it's like trusting him and trusting and believing that he will help.
That was Liz's language right there. Liz is leading worship this weekend and she was talking about that song.
I was literally talking about that. I love that song so much. Yeah. And now I'm like, ooh, maybe we should have, we didn't put it on the list, but we'll have to sing that soon. Because it is, you're right. It's such a beautiful prayer. Like, what's the lyrics again? It's like, I will look up. And I will
look ahead, believing you're,
they're able.
Yeah.
Right.
And back. You were faithful.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I would put it this way, and we'll close here. I would say if you are looking for, if the thing that you are looking towards to bring you fulfillment or to make you happy is not God, if it's something else, if it's your bank account, if it's your career, if it's your relationship, if it's your family, you are like a child in junior high that is trying to find fulfillment buying the right shoes to fit in with the crowd to get you. And it's a valiant effort, and no one is knocking you for it, but you're barking up the wrong tree because the thing that your soul is longing for is this connection with God, is this communion with God. And whatever you have to give up, whatever God is asking you to let go of, is so worth whatever he's got for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
So spend some time asking yourself that question this week. Who do I say God is? Who do I say Jesus is? Is there any ways that I'm trying to make Jesus in my own image? And how can you objectively really look at who Jesus is and draw closer to him? So thank you, Liz, for joining us. I hope you'll do it more.
Thanks for having me.
It's really been fun.
Such a joy.
This is great.
And come to church this weekend. Liz is leading worship. It's going to be awesome. And I will be there too. So.
And Rachel.
All of us.
Yay! Wow.
Cool. All right. Till next week. We'll see you later.